treasure. Where is your treasure? Is the beginning of our stewardship campaign. This is the title of our sermon. This is going to be an introduction to our campaign. And I'm very excited about it. If you heard the Bible reading this morning that Barbara just read, you hear some instructions, very important instructions. Now, Jesus instructs his people not to treasure up treasures on earth, okay? Instead, we are to treasure up treasures somewhere else. Where is this? In heaven, in heaven. Now, there is a pattern that seems to be linked between heart and treasure that we need to talk about today. The reason for this link is that the location of our treasures exposes the condition of our hearts. If you understand this, you will also understand where we also sometimes invest the most in life. Our text, in other words, confronts us with the necessity of knowing the state of something that is so important, the state of our souls, the state of who we are, what we believe, so that we can treasure up treasures that are pleasing to God. How many of you want to please God? Somebody say, amen.
Amen.
Having blessings in our lives. How many of you have been blessed? Come on. Even with all the stuff that you might be going through with the sudden surprises of life, God blesses us. Can I say something really quick? This weekend was kind of crazy for me. I had Noah's Ark in my basement in the parsonage. Yeah. And you know what? It was interesting because I needed to get all that out of there, but I needed to get ready for a sermon and the start of the week and all these things happening. But in everything I was doing, I saw how God continued to bless me. It could have been worse. I probably didn't have the strength to do it myself or something like that, right? But I did. And I did it, and I actually had fun, although I am tired because it was a lot of water. But I mean, I did it, and I got Yvette in it also. And we did something together, and it gave us some time to see the blessings of God in small things. But sometimes we overlook those things. Opportunities that take us away from doing what we usually do, and all of a sudden we notice things that we hadn't been noticing. How great it is to be together and work as a team and be blessed to have the health to do things and to help and serve. Now, God blessing us is not a problem. God wants to do that. God blesses us in different ways. God blesses us even when we don't deserve it. He blesses us. Even when sometimes we are knuckleheads like me, right? But he does do this. He loves us so much. It becomes a problem only when the things that we lay up for ourselves become treasures, the treasures of our hearts. When we exhaust our time pursuing the things of the earth, when we make them the ends, when we make them the most important thing and we allow them to take the place of God, and then we can talk about something else, idols. Instead of accumulating the transient treasures on earth, what it's suggesting here is something else which we should talk about. Verse 20 encourages us to seek the permanent treasures of heaven. Permanent treasures. Somebody say permanent. Permanent treasures of heaven. Unlike the treasures of earth, These treasures are not subject to getting old, to being lost, for any kind of decay. No. This is a different kind of treasure that nobody can mess with. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
What are these heavenly treasures? Now first we should think about something. We need to understand that heavenly treasures are not things that we'll need for heaven. Hello? Somebody say hello. Everything that we need there in heaven will be provided for us. It will be provided. What I'm talking about, rather the heavenly treasures, they are the rewards. The rewards that God's grace bestows upon each and every one of us. And they're not things that we earn either. You know what? You're not going to ever do anything to have God love you more or less. He just loves you. And He loves you abundantly. You don't have to try to put a list. God, I did this. And I also did this. Check. I did this. Check. That's not the kind of things that you're not going to earn this kind of reward. But God delights in giving you these rewards. They're called blessings. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
We are blessed, my friends. As a matter of fact, some of these rewards are mentioned in Scripture this morning according to the Word of God. Rewards. Rewards, many rewards. There was a faithful prayer that said, "But though thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Don't worry. Well, should I say it? Be happy. God is the provider of all things. He will provide. He likes to provide. He wants to bless you. He is in that kind of business. He wants to bless us. And this is not a temporary thing. This is something that He wants to do every time. The verses in Matthew 6 are but a small sampling of what the Bible has to say about heavenly treasures and how we are to live life today in order to have a better tomorrow. Hallelujah. But what are our hearts? When it talks about hearts here, what is it talking about? These passages use the word heart as a synonym. Somebody say synonym. There you go. That always is a tongue twister to me. Synonym, whatever. They use heart as that for our mind or the spirit. In this instance, though, both are in view, if you notice. Both of them are in view. What we value discloses both what we think and what we want, my friends. And this is something we need to understand. If you want to know what's in a man's heart or in a woman's heart, because there's not only men in this world, are there? Right? Women, somebody say amen. Come on, women. If you really want to know what's in a man and woman's heart, where his loyalties lie, and what he or she lives for, all you have to do, my friend, is find out where he stores his or where she stores her treasures. What's important? You see? What are you invested in? Where do you keep your treasures? Oh, in a safe. Some people keep their treasures in a bank, but some people keep their treasures in things that are not about money. You know that, right? Some things can actually get in the way of how God is the most important thing in a person's life, even relationships. Somebody say hello. Where do you keep your treasures, church? Do you spend your money, energy, and time collecting things here on earth? Things that won't last on earth. Things that take away from God. Or do you give yourself entirely to the service of Jesus Christ and find your treasures in Him? Hallelujah. How are you doing this? Where are your treasures? Ultimately, Jesus Christ, the sovereign ruler of the universe, demands that your hearts be devoted and be devoted entirely to Him. Not halfway, not a little bit. I'll give you this much and next year I'll give you this much more. He wants it all. All your heart. He wants it all. He wants to be numero uno. Even more than that, everything in your life. Somebody, are you understanding what I'm saying today? The beginning of this stewardship campaign gives us an opportunity. A great opportunity to evaluate everything in our lives, to review our priorities even. Look at them. Look inside of you if you can. To consider how much time, how much resources, how much money we've wasted, maybe on enterprises that really have no lasting value. And to redirect our attention to the one who richly gives you all that you enjoy. If you enjoy a good job, it's because God gave you the opportunity to have that job and to have the health for you to be able to work that job. See, everything that you have is already God's. Everything. Where are your treasures, church? Where are your treasures? Where is your heart? If your answer is Jesus Christ, Jesucristo, somebody say Jesucristo. Then I encourage you to hold on and hold on tight. Fast. Even more than that, I plead with you to know Him more and more and grow closer and closer to God. Know Him better. And if your answer is anything other than Jesus Christ, my friends, then the Word of God commands you today. It commands you. The Word of God commands you to put your trust in Him every day. God is the provider. God is never failing. He is there for you. He knows what you want. He knows what you need. He is there for you now. Don't let one more minute, my friends, one more minute pass by which you continue to lay up treasures on earth. Come to the Savior and learn how to lay up treasures in heaven. Now, I want to talk to you personally about some things. In my life, God has provided every time I've needed Him. I've been saved. And I've been saved not only because I have salvation, but I've been saved. My life has been saved in more than one occasion. God was providing me an opportunity to be able to minister, and that was my time was not done yet. I remember that time I jumped off the airplane and it didn't work right. Just to say that much. And I was going down pretty fast. And hurt myself. But it wasn't my time. God provided. I remember the times when maybe we didn't have that much, But God provided, and it was somebody at church, or somebody would provide, and somebody would come. I call them angels. God has angels. Amen? Amen. You know this. This church is full of those kind of experiences. You've told me about them. I've lived them personally. But God is providing all the time. When this church started out, how many years is it now? 200 some years?
A lot.
A lot, right? This didn't just start with, this just didn't appear here. It started as a ministry. It started as a mission. And all of a sudden, it grew. God provided more people to it. God provided opportunities to worship. God provided a place to worship. And after that, you guys had an opportunity to move over to this place where you're at right now. There was other parsonage. There were other pastors. It was all good. If you could remember, man, there's stories about this altar, right? Now, Dave, where are you? That some people actually did some parts of the altar with their own hands, right? Beautiful stories. God has always provided for this church. God has always provided to you as a person. My friends, that God will continue to provide to this church. I know that some of you might already know this, but if you don't know, I'm going to have to tell you right now. My time with you is coming to a close. And in the next couple of months, there'll be a lot of stuff going on that has already started. My family and I will be moving to Texas. I told you that God has always provided to this church. I want you to look back in the journey that I've been with you for 5 years. I've not been in a church for that long, except for my first one. This has been a place where I have grown a lot with you. I've seen miracles happen here, okay? God's miracles. Today, oy, I've seen wonderful things happen here. I've seen how a church was going through some hard times, and sometimes we still are, because who's not going through a hard time nowadays? We all are. But I've seen how God has continued to inspire his children. And even in times when I'd have to be out and doing the things that I have to do in the army, God has provided. When I say that I'm leaving, I don't say that very, very lightly. It's hard for me, okay? I'm scared, okay? I'm moving somewhere else with my whole family to a new ministry. And I'm leaving a wonderful church. But this is not my church. And I'm not saying that respectfully. This is your church. And ultimately, more than that, this is God's church. I only ask that, and I'm not leaving yet. Yvette and the kids, they're leaving first. They're leaving next month. You'll have the opportunity to say bye to them next week. I just want to say that I hope that the son of Ernesto Sanchez and Guillermina Alverio, that came all the way from a little town called Maunabo, Puerto Rico, someday you can look back and you can say, hey, that was a chapter of our life as a church that was interesting. And this pastor brought this to this church. And you might not see it now. Maybe I don't. But someday you will. Because all pastors, God brings them to a church for a reason. And what I don't seem to have at this time, because maybe it's not me to give, it might be coming in with your new pastor. And God will continue to use that person in the next chapter of this church. I love you all.
We love you too.
But I do believe that I do not move if it's not for the will of God that permits it. I'm not that crazy. I feel peace with the decision that I have to make, even if it's not an easy one. But if you so happen to love me and look at the eyes, at the big eyes of the pastor, I tell you also I love you. Pray for me. Pray for my wife and my kid as we continue our journey. And God continues to provide, as He will continue to provide to you. No matter what, the show must go on. No matter what, this mission must go on. The Great Commission must go on. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love all of you. But without your prayers and your support, and I know it's hard to let go sometimes, I believe that God is in this. And He will take you to the next chapter. And He will give you the victory as a church. May God bless you. May God keep you. And please continue to pray for the pastoral family.